for delivery. Obviously, you know, we talked about the end times, but you know, the earth has got, you know, I don't remember where I heard it, but just said there's more major earthquakes now than in 100 years previous. Every year there's more tsunamis and you know, natural disasters now than in the years previous. So just question about the earth groaning for delivery.
Yes. And by the way, that's what you're saying is one of the signs of the birth pangs, that they would come closer and be more intense and more visible. One element of all the natural disasters is there always have been natural disasters. It's just no one knew about all of them. And we're the first generation that knows about all of them. But again, you see, I put a verse up there. There is a passage that talks about the earth groaning. And I want to read it to you. It's Romans chapter 8. And it starts in verse 18. And this is so exciting because it ties right to what we just looked at, all the eschatology and the second coming of Christ. And it says in Romans 8, Paul said in verse 18, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." So he's talking about our hope and Christ and salvation. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation," now this is where we get into the earth, "the creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God." Verse 20, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." Verse 21, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption." The earth was not made for the disasters. That was not God's intention. His original purpose for creation of both the macro universe as well as our earth and all the micro world beneath it was not for the death and disorder and decay and destruction, which is basically what's going on everywhere around us. Death, decay, disorder, everything, you know, falling apart and headed toward destruction. But see what it says in verse 20, or verse 21. "Creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Verse 22, "For we know the whole creation groans and labors," there's that word, "with birth pangs," like we were looking at in Matthew 24, "until now." So basically, is the earth groaning for deliverance? I mean, are the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the famines, the locust plagues, even the pandemics part of this groaning? Yes. In what sense? Right here. Creation, verse 20, was subjected to futility. Verse 21, the bondage of corruption. Now, basically, to understand this question, you just do a quick theology of the fall and how that ties to the consummation. Genesis 3 talks about how the earth came under this curse. And basically, Satan, mankind, and the universe were subjected to the curse. This bondage, Romans 8 talks about, which leads to ultimate death and constant disorder and this endless decay and headed toward a destruction. Basically, Genesis, let me read to you this. Someone said to me, "Do you think sin is behind COVID? I said, "It's involved with sin." They said, "Well, what about, you know, the riots going on right now?" I said, "Yep, that's sin." "Well, what about the common cold?" "That's tied to sin." "Well, how is it tied to sin?" Well, you have to look at the fall. Genesis 3:14, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, you're cursed.'" That was Satan. That's the cosmic conflict. Because what's going to happen? "I will put enmity between you and the woman," verse 15, "between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel." That's the whole conflict of the ages of Satan opposed to God and his people and Christians and believers and saints and Christ coming to the cross and crushing Satan. So, first of all, the creation groaning, it's groaning because it's watching the Creator with one of the creatures leading a rebellion. Satan has a third of all the angelic hosts, and he's leading a rebellion. Secondly, it says in verse 16, to the woman he said, I will multiply your sorrow, your conception, in pain you'll bring forth children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Secondly, pain in childbearing and gender-specific role struggles. I mean, the family struggles. As a pastor, you know, I spent a great deal of my time when I wasn't studying or presenting the Word of God. I was dealing with the families in the church where there were husbands struggling with their wives, wives struggling with their husbands, parents struggling with their children, children struggling with their parents, this whole curse upon relationships. That's what verse 16 of chapter 3 talks about. And then verse 17, Genesis 3:17, it says, cursed is the ground. Verse 18, thorns and thistles. And it says, verse 19, out of the dust you were taken, and to dust you shall return. And we call this the law of thermodynamics, the ultimate heat death, that everything is winding down, decaying, going to disorder and destruction. So basically, Genesis 3 tells us that all the earth, the universe actually, Romans 8 says, the whole universe is involved in this cosmic conflict between God and Satan, where Satan resists God's plan and is bruising Christ's heel, you know, attacking Christ on the cross, and Christ crushing his head, and then marital conflict and pain, and then universal death and disease and decay. But what that tells us is the whole universe, Paul said in chapter 8, awaits redemption. Now, if the universe is groaning and the earth is groaning and creaking and tsunamiing and earthquaking and famining and everything else, what's coming? Well, Revelation 19, verse 11, launches what 2 Peter 3 finishes. So the bookends of this are Revelation 19. Josh, can you see that? Can you see this? Good. Keep me on the board. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11 to 21:1, talks about the second coming of Christ. That's what creation is groaning for. They want to be liberated from the bondage of sin and death and decay and destruction. And 2 Peter 3, from verse 10 onward through verse 13, talks about what God is going to do. And these are the events God has planned. It says in Revelation 19, we all know this, that the heavens will open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him, who's called faithful and true. Basically, that's Jesus righting all wrongs. He's coming to just pour out his vengeance on sinners and on sin. Remember what it says in Genesis 4? Remember when Cain killed Abel? What did God say in Genesis 4:10? God looked at Cain and said, the blood of your brother cries from the ground. Wow. You know what that means? All sin is constantly just in God's face. Murder and rape and terror and all types of oppression and what we're seeing right now, racism and discrimination and all other forms of oppression, whether they're of widows or of orphans or of children, whatever it is. That sin is in God's face, and he is waiting. And the earth is groaning. Literally, Genesis 4:10 says, the earth cries out about murder. It's saying, why are your creatures killing each other? That's what the earth is doing. And the universe is groaning in decay, because it's not able to glorify God in the way that it was created and designed to do. It still does in a slight way, showing his creation, but not the way God designed it to. So what happens is Jesus comes back. He, you know, grabs the devil, chains him up, puts him in the pit, 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And then it says in 2 Peter 3, after all that is over, in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens, so 2 Peter 3:10 is the end of the groaning. The heavens will pass away with great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And then it says in verse 11, since all things will be dissolved. Basically, at a thermonuclear kind of atomic level, God reconstitutes the whole universe. 2 Peter 3:10, it dissolves. Amazing. It's burned up. Since all these things are going to be dissolved, verse 11, what manner of people ought you to be in holy conduct, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Isn't that somehow the Lord always rounds back to the practical? He said, the earth is groaning, yeah, it's heaving and quaking and droughting and the oceans are dying and animals are going extinct and humans are destroying each other. That's all because of the fall, the curse. But Revelation 19 says Christ is returning and that we are to look forward to the day when he makes all things new, Revelation 21:1. And so basically, I believe that the groaning is the anticipation of deliverance that the whole earth, the whole universe feels. And that God says they're all awaiting the second coming. And if the whole universe is awaiting it, we should be too. And as Peter said, what manner, verse 11 of 2 Peter 3, what manner of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Godliness is my character on the inside. Holy conduct is what people see on the outside. I'm supposed to be a walking mirror of Jesus Christ, a walking advertisement of his grace and mercy and peace and love. So that would be my question, answer to the second question.
Well, while you were sharing in there, one of the things that you said in that process was, God being asked basically, or told to look at your creation destroying itself, like killing each other. And I just for this one time, I don't know that it's ever really struck me like that before, but really putting myself in the place of, God, looking down at my creation and seeing the fighting, especially currently with, the riots and stuff, and just seeing like what I had created from love, just like deteriorating. And I was thinking that as being a father, how painful it would be if my kids, like two of my kids just hated each other, and they just could never reconcile. And it was just this fierce hatred, how sad that would be. It just kind of impressed upon me the love of God, his patience and his grace and his mercy.